Hallelujah. That reminded me as we were praying. That reminded me of Sunday morning when we were just worshiping the Lord. And I was just thinking about the holidays. Here I'm crying again. What is the problem, Neil? I haven't cried since Sunday morning. And thinking about the holidays and what, I mean, we just had just such a wonderful time. And I was thinking about on Sunday, a couple of my kids were about to leave, and they were going to leave after service, and just some people that I would like to have seen during the holiday and didn't have a chance to. And it just occurred to me what has so many times occurred to me, that the very best thing about heaven, besides being with God, is not the stuff we'll see or what we'll experience. It is that the people that we love will all be together forever. And we will be together in the best place we could ever possibly be. And we never have to worry about leaving. And we never have to worry about anything bad or evil. But we will be with God and He'll be with us. And I was just thinking about just how wonderful it's going to be together with the people that we love. And I was just thinking about that and meditating, you know, just that was just rolling around on the inside of me. And I started thinking, well, what about those people who have loved ones that they don't know that they will forever be in heaven with them? And that really got me. It just was really sad. And then the next thought I had was, what about God? Because He has people that He loves that may never know Him and may never make it to heaven. How sad that is. How glad I am that so many of the people that I cherish, I know and I have assurance that they're going to be in heaven with me. But, you know, I want that for God. I want for His family to be with Him forever. And that's really, I mean, when it gets down to it, what's better than that? What's better than being with the people you love for eternity? There's nothing better than that. And so, just wanted to throw that in there. Why don't you turn in your Bible over to John chapter 16. And I want to read here. I believe I have a message for you tonight from the Lord. Not just something I thought up, but something that the Lord has for us. Isn't that good? If you're going to come to church on Wednesday night, you want to hear from the Lord, don't you? You want something from heaven. You can stay home and get man's words. They're not too good, but coming to church on a Wednesday night, you want to hear something from heaven, and you want a boost, a midweek boost. And John chapter 16, and there's a lot we could read here in John 16, but I just want to read this verse 33, and it says this: these things, and again, this is Jesus speaking to us. If you aren't aware of what's happening, this is what's called the Last Supper. These are really His final address to those that have walked with Him on the earth, His disciples, His closest loved ones on earth. And He's talking to them, and He's saying a lot of things to them in these chapters. And I tell you, if you open your Bible one day and you don't know where to read, turn over to John chapter 14, John chapter 13, John chapter... Don't follow Neil and read Leviticus 16. Go to John 16. I think it'll... Not that Leviticus isn't good, but I'm telling you, John 16 is better. And read John 16 and what Jesus said here in verse 33. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace." Say, "In Him."
In Him.
Say, "I'm in Him."
I'm in Him.
And in Him,
I have peace.
That in Me you may have peace. And then He went on to say, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, I just want to break this down and make this plain tonight. He said that in Him we would have peace, and in the world we would have tribulation. Now, here's something strange. Here's what's strange tonight. Tonight, I'm in Him, and I'm also in the world. I'm in Him, but I'm in the world. Now, I'm not of the world, but I am in the world. So what that means is that I can have peace, or that His plan is for me to have peace, but in the world, there's the opportunity for tribulation. And so for believers, really, in the world, you just have tribulation. But if you're in Him, there's peace, and you're still in the world, so there's tribulation. But we have an option. We can opt out of the tribulation. Trouble comes. Have you noticed just when you live and breathe, trouble comes? There's pressure. This word tribulation, you study it out, it's a pressing. And that's what the world does. The world puts pressure on you. And it comes through circumstances. It comes through, we can talk about it, it comes through other people. It comes through, you know, your job. It comes through your physical body. It comes through the weather. I mean, it just comes. The wind blows it in. Trouble, tribulation comes in this earth. And it seems to me like the world is experiencing tribulation in a greater way than has ever been experienced before. It just certainly seems that way. At least you hear about it more. Maybe the communication methods are better. But you sure hear about a lot of trouble that's happening. But I'm so thankful that before I'm in the world, I'm in Him. I'm in Him. Now I'm in Him because I've received Him and He's in me and I'm in Him. But I'm going to tell you, living in Christ is a choice. And it's a choice that you make when you're saved, but it's a choice that you keep making, that I'm going to live in Him. Because you can slip out of your place. Now, you positionally, you have a position, you have a place, but many Christians have vacated their place. They've slipped out of their place of authority. They've slipped out of their seat of peace. And they just are enduring the tribulation. But I tell you, if you are born of Him, it is your right to live in peace. Not because you have done something to earn it, or because you deserve it, or because you've been through all these things and paid the price for it. No, He's given it to us. It's a gift. I'll just remind you of a couple of things. So the Bible says this, that the kingdom of God, I love this scripture, that in Romans it says this, that the kingdom of God, and there are three things that Paul listed that would be characteristics of the kingdom of God, three things that we would experience and know as we live out the kingdom, as we live in God's ways, even here on the earth, because the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. It's in me. It's in you. The earth is not experiencing the fullness of God's kingdom, but I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is right here. The kingdom of God is within you. And in the kingdom, there is righteousness. That's being right with God, not of your own merit, not of your own doing, not because you earned it. But you are right with God because He made you right with Him. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what's here, the kingdom. And that is just always interesting when I read those two things, because people magnify and make a lot of things. But it's interesting to me that the three things the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to say that living in the kingdom would be righteousness, being right with God. Because I think the reason the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write that is because he knew our tendency to slip over into trying to earn everything, our tendency to slip over into sin consciousness, our tendency to get caught up in our good works or in our comparing ourselves to each other and trying to feel better about ourselves because, he was worse than me, so I need to feel better. Or he knew the devil would say, look, he's better than you, so you should feel bad. None of that has any place in righteousness. I'm right because Jesus has made me right with His own precious blood. He has declared me to be right with God, and I am right with God. Right. And then peace. Peace is wholeness. And peace is really, there's two parts of peace. Peace is the calm that we understand that Jesus brought that day when they were facing the storm and they thought they were sinking and going under, and Jesus brought that peace, and that is peace. It's the absence of the storm and the warring and the battling. It's the absence of that, but it's also wholeness and soundness and wellness, peace. And then joy. I feel like God just threw that in there for me. Joy. Joy. So it's not just somberness and it's not just piety, which some people think the kingdom is. Some people think the kingdom is, about being quiet. Some people think the kingdom is about, just being stiff. No, the kingdom is about joy. And really, the New Testament picture of the kingdom, starting in Acts chapter 2, looks more like a drunken party than it does what people have come to think of the kingdom being. It is. I mean, you ever thought about that? If you read the New Testament and you see, it's interesting that Paul told him, don't be drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's not that, the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, because people were sinful and their nature was so messed up that, they tried to do everything they could to be right before God and it ended up being very stiff. But under the New Covenant, it's about being filled with the joy of the Lord. See, we've gotten that mixed up. But those are the three things he says the kingdom will look like. The kingdom will bring in our lives. The king characteristics of our lives as we live in the kingdom. We live before God. We live in fellowship with Him. Righteousness, that sense that I'm right with God. everything's okay between us. He's not mad. He's not pouting. He's not counting up and holding against me my trespasses. I didn't wake up this morning and he had his finger in my face going, naughty girl, naughty girl. No, he hasn't done that not once. Because in Jesus I've been made right. And then peace. That even though the world is filled with trouble, I can be at peace. And I can be well. And just like, in, you know, that the guy who wrote the song, the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," he was experiencing that peace. He was in the midst of great trauma in this world, but it was well with him. It was well. So that peace, and tonight I just want to talk about peace, and I want to talk to you about it in some really practical ways. But I just want you to see this: in Him, in Christ, peace. In the world, trouble, tribulation, calamity, stress, drama. We could probably come up with a lot more words for it, but I think you understand. Just flip on the TV if you don't know. Just, you know, just about anything. Look at that. Anything the world has to offer, it's filled with that. And it's not peace. And then there's peace. And the Bible says that the peace of God is so foreign to man, to man's natural being without God, that we can't even begin to understand it. That it passes our understanding. Even us who have renewed our minds somewhat, it gets to the point that peace will come on us and settle down on us to the point that we're sitting there going, shouldn't I be freaking out? I mean, it seems to me like what would make sense at this moment, the only thing that would make sense is for me just to totally have a freak out right here. But I'm okay. Have any of y'all ever experienced that? It's just peace. Or perhaps, maybe you've had the experience I've had where everybody around you was freaking out. And just seemed like they lost their cool and they lost their way and they didn't know what to do, but you were at peace. And you didn't really understand because the circumstances didn't call for peace. But the kingdom within you called for peace. And the fact that you're in Him, that dictated and that you know, really gave you a guarantee of peace if you would reach out to Him, that there's peace for you. Peace. Peace I give you, He said. So this is cool. Having peace is good. Now, why is peace so important? You know, it's Christmas time, and we'll be hearing some things, you know, about the Christmas story. And y'all remember the angels when they came? Does anybody remember what the angels said when they announced to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest"? Peace. Isn't that interesting? One of the first things they said is peace. Peace. Now, when I read the Bible, I see that God places a really high premium on peace. That peace is real. Something about peace is really important to God. And I can tell you, just having lived 47 years, I've figured out in 47 years that peace is pretty important to me. But I see in the Scripture it's important to God, and it's important to God that we have peace. And one of the main reasons that you and me need peace, beyond just God wants us to feel better or God wants us to rest, is something much more vital than that, something much bigger and greater than that, and it's this. Turn over to Colossians if you have your Bible, and I'm going to read in Colossians from the Amplified, and I'm going to read a verse that, and this is a verse that you probably heard about if you've been through Abundant Life. This is one of our primary scriptures we use in one of our classes in our Abundant Life class, but it is, to me, this is just learning how to live in Christ 101, this verse. And it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, let it rule and act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving thanks to God always." And there's a whole lot in here. Let's just kind of start at the end and we'll work back. Be thankful, appreciative, giving thanks to God always. That sounds good. But look at this part here. He says, we were called to live in peace. Do you know you and I have been called to live in peace? Well, that makes sense, because if in Him we have peace, I know this, we're called to live in Him. I think it's in Acts where it says, in Him we live and move and have our being. So in Him, in peace we live, in peace we move, and in peace we have our being. So we are called to peace. Now, I think some people think peace is optional as a believer. Peace is optional. Maybe it's something we're trying to get, something maybe we'd like to have. There are times that we're really aware that we don't have it and we want it. Maybe if the sleeping pills aren't working or whatever, you know, drug we've decided to, you know, medicate ourselves with isn't quite working, or things get really bad, then we'll look for some peace maybe. But we're called to live in peace. And again, that word has several meanings. We're called to live in soundness and in wholeness for sure. We're also called to live in peace with others. There's a whole bunch there we won't even get to. But I'm telling you this, we're also called to live in peace in our minds, in the sense that there's not a war raging within us all the time. That we can actually rest, that we can have soundness in our minds. We have been given a sound mind. How sad that most Christians miss out on having a sound mind that belongs to them. But they're missing out on the soundness of mind that comes, first of all, through having and experiencing peace. Peace. So he said we were called to live in peace. But let's go back up, you know, further in the verse. He says, let the peace, the soul harmony. And I like that idea that I'm in harmony, that there's a oneness within me. Let that peace from Christ, let it rule and act as an umpire continually. Now, you know, again, we talk about this. If you've been to Abundant Life, some of you haven't been in Abundant Life in years. But one of the things that we talk about in Abundant Life is this concept of peace acting as an umpire in our lives. And, you know, I'm not the world's greatest authority on baseball, but that's okay, because I do know enough about baseball to understand the role of an umpire in the game. Because one of the umpires, the one that you see most often when you're watching the game, is the guy that stands right behind home plate, behind the batter. And he stands there, and there's this box, this imaginary box that's in the air, hanging there. And when those pitches come across that plate from the pitcher, that umpire calls, what's happening? Is that a strike, or is that a foul? What's going on? He makes a ruling based on what's happening in front of him. And the Bible says that peace should be in our lives like that umpire who's making a ruling about those pitches coming across the plate and the things that are happening in the game. The umpire's watching those things and he's making a ruling. And he's the judge of the game. That's who he is. That's his role in the game, is he's the judge. And if there's any question that arises, they don't look at the pitcher. They don't look at the batter. They don't look out in left field. They look to the umpire. He's the one who makes the calls. He's the one who makes the judgments on the game. Isn't that right? Am I all mixed up, Matt? Let me know. Okay. I learned all this from you. So, all those terrible Minnesota Twins games I had to sit through. Okay, never mind. And so, he's making a judgment. Now, see, here in this letter, Paul even says that. He says, let it decide and settle with finality all questions that arise in your mind. See, we have questions that arise in our minds. Am I the only one that ever has questions arise in your mind? And they sound, I mean, we could stay here all night and just say what some of the questions are that we hear. Here's one of them. What are you going to do? How are you going to make it? What should you do? What would God have you to do? What is it you want to do? How are you going to deal with this? What's going to happen over there? How are you going to make it? All these thoughts that come, these are questions that arise. We live in a world that is filled with questions, and if we don't have enough questions, we got people around us helping us. They are accusing voices. You know, the enemy is the accuser, and sometimes some of his, you know, best weapons comes through the mouths of other people. You know, like, what are you going to do? I mean, I wasn't even thinking about being worried about that until I talked to you, and my goodness, you showed me how I should be super upset about that. And I hadn't even thought about it. You're good at that, Eddie, by the way. And anyway, just kidding. And so, that whole idea of questions coming, there are questions. Am I the only one that ever has any questions? Am I the only one that ever has things I have to sort out, and there's things I'm grappling with, and there's decisions to be made? And sometimes when you're trying to make decisions, there are no good answers. Do you ever experience that? When you run through all the possibilities and not one of them is a good one. I mean, Matt and I, a couple weeks ago, we had a situation arise. It didn't have anything to do with the church. It was something else entirely. And the situation came up. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and we had some information come. And it was not what we were expecting. And when we got it, I'm telling you, it was like being punched in the stomach. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm just going to be honest with you. I went to the bathroom, and I stood over the commode, and I just retched because of some information I got. That's pretty tough, isn't it? When's the last time you did that, Neil? Really? I mean, it was tough. And I was like, my God, it's over, man. What we were doing has just come to an abrupt halt based on this information that we got. And it was information that had existed long before, you know, I got it. It wasn't like something that had just happened. It was something that had been going on that I didn't know about. And oh, my goodness. And so I go into Matt's study and I sit there and I say, what are we going to do? And we go through all the scenarios of what we could do. And not one option was a good option. We couldn't come up with a good option. And so what we did is we had the conversation again. So we went through the options again. Well, that time it was probably even, you know, less good options, you know. Yeah, in case we may. I was kind of hopeful about one, and that got shut down pretty quick, you know, and so there was just nothing. And so Matt, he had a glorious answer for me. He said, well, let's just wait and see. Well, I don't know. I always think of Matt as somebody who just likes to jump in and act, but for some reason, there are times when we switch roles, and I'm ready to do something. We got to do something right now, and Matt's like, we're going to wait and see. I'm like, who are you? When this last time you wanted to wait and see? It's all is lost, you know? It was tough. I mean, it was tough. It was late at night, and I mean, going to bed was not an option at that point. But finally God helped us. We finally were able to talk to somebody and receive some really sound judgment. We found out all is not lost and got some hope again and things, you know. I didn't have to throw up anymore. But the point of the story is this, that we all face those moments. We all face, and maybe they're not as quick or as harsh as that one was, but we all have moments in our lives where something comes and there's a question and there's no good answer. And there's no, you know, like, and now we got to deal with it. We got to walk through it. We got to live through it because, you know, we still live on planet Earth. We haven't gone to the other side where there's no more pain and no more dust and we all get to be together by the river forever. You know, it's not where we are yet. We're still here. And so what are we doing? We have to have something that's going to get us through and is going to help us decide and to settle with finality these questions that are arising in our minds. What is it that's going to do that? Peace. What is it that's going to help us when all hell is broken loose? What's going to stabilize us? Peace. See, some people, they look for circumstances to stabilize them. But I'm going to tell you, if you are depending on your circumstances to stabilize you, you are lost. Because circumstances are always going to be tumultuous. They may seem okay today, but I'm telling you, tomorrow's coming. That's the one thing I've found. It's been amazing to me how you can have a glorious moment in your life, but then you wake up the next day and it's another day. You can have a terrible day and you wake up the next day and it's another day. Life is like that, man. It's coming and it's going. What is the one thing that will stabilize you? Peace. I'm so glad Jesus gave me peace and that I'm entitled to peace because I'm in Him. Peace. Now, why for God, as far as God's concerned, the reason that peace is so critical is because He has given us peace as our inner guidance system. The way that He leads us is by peace. He leads us with peace. And that's what's so critical for us to understand as believers is that peace is calling the shots. It's making the judgments on those, you know, questions that come, those balls that come across the plate there. That peace is acting as an umpire. And so one of the most critical things for you as a believer is to get to peace, is to establish some peace. And that's one thing I see often with new believers or people that when they first come to Christ, they haven't had peace in their lives. It is a struggle to move to peace. And one thing I found too is that God is very benevolent. Sometimes He just bestows peace on people. Like, you know, they move into a place of peace very easily, but they don't know how to maintain the peace. But God wants you in peace because peace is that inner guidance system. It's interesting, these verses in John where Jesus said this in John 16:33. If you read those chapters, He's talking a lot about the Holy Spirit and His ministry in our lives. He is the peace. He is the Spirit of peace. He's the peace-giving Spirit. But it talks about how He will lead us and guide us into all the truth. He'll show us things to come again and again in there. You know, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit and His ministry in our lives. And people don't understand it. People think God leads by circumstances. People think God leads by dreams, that He leads by all these things. But I tell you how the Bible says that New Testament believers are led. They are led by peace. But in order to be led by peace, you have to understand how it works. It's just like, you know, my mom has a navigation system that came with her car. Any of y'all have that, or have any of y'all ever had GPS, or maybe you have phones with it? Well, you have to learn how to use it. And my mother, for a long time, was really funny with that whole navigation system because she didn't understand how it worked. And so she would get in the car, and she's going to use this system. And it was, I won't even go into the stories of what happened to my mother with her navigation system. But you have to know how to use it. In the same way, this navigation system that we have to understand how it works, and we have to learn to work with it and cooperate with it. His peace will guide us if we will let it, if we will cooperate with Him. But that's why it's so critical to God, besides the fact that He loves us and He wants us at peace, it's why it's so critical that we as believers understand that we have to live in peace. Because here's the deal. If peace is what's guiding us and the way it works, that we all have had some idea of this, and we've had some experience with this, that if we have peace about something, then we know that's God leading us. But if our peace is disrupted, if there's a disturbance in the peace, so to speak, then we know that we're stepping out of line, that something's going on that isn't the will of God. And the way that we've taught you and the way that we live is this: we take baby steps towards what we think God has for us, and we follow the peace. And when we get to a place that there's no more peace, we stop, or we back up, or we go in another direction, because we are looking for the peace. But see, the problem is, if you don't understand what peace is and you have never experienced peace, it's going to be difficult for you to be led by peace. Now, I had a thought about this today. It's this: that peace really in our lives works like a thermometer. You know, a thermometer, it perceives what's going on around it, and it registers. It gives you a reading. You know, we have a thermometer in our garage, and our thermometer in our garage, when we left the house, I think it said 58. And then you get in the car, and you drive a little ways. We have a thermometer in our car, and it's always lower or higher depending on, you know, the season. But our garage, inside our garage, is warmer than it is outside. We also have a thermometer in our bedroom. We have thermometers in many places in our house. I mean, a lot of them. But and you can do a reading in there. And oftentimes, my bedroom is colder than it is in other parts of the house. So, but that thermometer is picking up the atmosphere, the temperature in the room. The thermometers, we won't go into all the science behind it. You can read that yourself on the internet, thank God. But it's basically giving me a reading of the temperature, the air temperature, whatever's going on in the room. Y'all understand how thermometers work, right? Well, peace is the same way. My peace on the inside is like a thermometer, and it's registering what's going on in my life and telling me, is this God's will or not? Is this God's plan for me? Is this how God is leading me? And it's registering it. And when the peace rises, I know I'm moving towards what God has for me. And when the peace has fallen, when it's subsiding, when it's going down, then I know that's given me a reading, and I need to listen. I might need to slow down. I might need to speed up. I need to make an adjustment to bring my peace back to the level it needs to be. Now, here's the thing about thermometers, just like any kind of device that measures anything. at some point, they have to be calibrated. That means that they have to be set to a standard. Now, we have also in our house, besides having a whole lot of thermometers around our place, we also have a lot of atomic clocks. Do any of y'all have those? We have them all over the church, too, because Matt Judd has a thing for precise time. I don't know why. He's not that fond of keeping it, but he really he likes to have something about that. He really enjoys having that precise time. And the way I understand these atomic clocks work is this. They themselves are not atomic clocks. What they have in them is some kind of a radio transmitter. And periodically, whether it's every hour or once a night or during the middle of the night, or somehow in my mind, I think it's at 3 a.m., but I don't know exactly when it is. At some point during a 24-hour period, I don't know if it's once or 24 times, there is a signal sent out from the atomic clock, I think out in Colorado somewhere, in my mind. It's in Colorado. And there is a beam, some kind of a radio signal that goes out periodically, and that little device is equipped with a receiver, and it receives that transmission. And when it does, it adjusts the hours and the minutes and even the seconds on our little device, and it calibrates it to that atomic clock. So it never gets far off. It may get a little bit off, but before long, it gets reset. And it's interesting, I've seen it where you could have your clock all goofed up, like the battery wasn't working. You can put the battery in it, and that signal comes through, whatever time it is, and your clock, you're just standing, nobody's touching it, and your clock, the hands will start moving if it's out, or if it's a digital one, it'll have the right time on it. Have any of y'all seen that? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever seen atomic clocks work that way? So what's happening is it's calibrating, it's lining up to the standard. Well, see, our peace on the inside has to be calibrated. Because what happens is we are born and we live in a world that's full of trouble and tribulation. We're not born in peace. Have y'all noticed that? How many of y'all came from a home that it was just totally, completely peaceful and your peace was set in a great place? It's just not the norm on planet Earth. People will be ashamed because they had dysfunctional families. What they don't understand is that's life on planet Earth. Because we were all born from a fallen man. So no one comes from a perfect family. No one comes from a place of perfection. Not one of us. And so our peace then, even if we were but particularly if you haven't walked with God for a while, but even people that have don't necessarily haven't been through this. If you haven't understood this principle about peace, that your peace has to be calibrated. There has to be a standard of peace. And I tell you, some people, they can live and die and be Christians, but they never understand that there is a level of peace that God has called us all to. And that it's their responsibility to calibrate their peace to His peace, to meet the standard. Now, how do you do that? Well, there's a scripture in Isaiah that tells us how. And it's pretty simple, but it's not necessarily easy. Sometimes I see people's lives or I interact with people and I think, my goodness, I don't even know how you live like that. How do you even survive with that kind of life? I don't even understand. I can't fathom me living in that. And what I realize is this, their peace thermometer is set to a whole different level than mine is. I just have a really low tolerance for yin-yan. Maybe you do well with that. I have a really low tolerance for drama. There's just a lot of things I just don't tolerate in my life. But other people, they seem to just, that's just life as they know it. But what's happened is as I've walked with God, my peace has been calibrated to a different standard, a different place. And so there's so many things I won't tolerate. I don't tolerate strife very well. And people who like to call strife, I found there's no place in my peace for people that like to get strife going on. People who bring division, I just don't like that. So I just I put up a boundary. I just put that out. My peace is more important than your drama. It is. I'm telling you, my peace, because it is the guidance system that God has instituted in my life. I'm telling you, my peace is extremely precious to me. Not just because I want to feel good, not just because I want to sleep tonight, not just because, you know, I want to have a good day. Even those things, I have to tell you, are really important to me. But way beyond that, it is that if I don't have peace, I'm not going to be able to be guided by my Heavenly Father. I'm not going to be able to receive instruction from Him. So I'm not going to live for Him the way He designed for me to, and I'm not going to fulfill what He's called me to do. And that, to me, I'm telling you, is above all things. It's fulfilling God's plan and purpose for me. That's above you and your drama. God bless you. But I don't want to bring that into my life. Doesn't mean I don't love you, or I won't be merciful to you, or I won't help you. But I got to have peace. I've been called to peace. I live in peace because I live in Him. It's in peace that I live and I move and I have my being. That's who I am. That's what I have. That's the way I see it. And I got to protect my peace. Isaiah 26 verse 3. There's a verse here that I think about all the time. I learned this verse when I was a little girl, and it's amazing to me how it still feeds me. And it's this in the New King James, Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says this. It says, "You will keep him," and the "you" is talking about the Lord, God. "You will keep him in perfect peace," and I'm the "him" in this case, "whose mind is stayed on you, because he," and I'm the "he" in this case, "trust in you, God. He will keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And this right here to me is the verse that tells me how I calibrate my peace, how I get my peace set to his standard of peace. And it's perfect peace, it's complete peace, it's the peace he has for me. That's the peace Jesus gave me. That's the peace I'm entitled to. It's the peace that he uses to lead me and guide me. It's perfect peace. It's complete peace. It's a whole peace. And it says here, there's two parts of how I go about cooperating with that peace and how I get that peace in my life and how I get in on it. And it's two parts. And the first part is this: whose mind is stayed on you? Whose mind is stayed on you? Whose mind is standing? Well, how do I keep my mind stayed on him? Does anybody have any ideas? How can I do that? How can I keep my mind stayed on him? Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. What'd you say? Prayer. Praise. Meditation. Worship. These are all of these are great ways to keep my mind stayed on him. I mean, ultimately it's that I'm having his thoughts. And the only place I can get his thoughts is from his word. So I got to fill my mind with his words. I'm telling you, you don't ever get away from that. I mean, you may get away from it, but you didn't get away from it. You know what I mean? It's there. That's still it. We still have put the word in, hearing the word. We still have washing of the water of the word. We still have renewing your mind by the word. We didn't finish that. It's still going on. Even today, hearing the word, speaking the word, praying, which is really talking to God around his word, fellowshipping with God over his word, worship. What is that? It's thanking God in light of what we know of him about his word and what the word reveals him to be. Praising him, speaking his word and declaring his word. All those things, it all has to do with his word. We have to keep our mind on his word. Now, part of that is not just that we get a scripture and we're thinking of a scripture and we're thinking of scripture. I mean, it goes way beyond that. See, when I keep my mind stayed on him and I'm filling my mind with his words, what happens is I start to think about things in light of his word. See, and I start making judgments based on what his word says, and I get my perspective of life based on the word instead of my perspective of life coming from my granny or coming from the people around me or coming from what I read in the Reader's Digest or what I saw on TV last week. I have a perspective of the world around me based on the Word. That's keeping my mind stayed on Him. And when my mind is stayed on Him, see, I see things in a different way than other people see them. See, even the circumstances that people... Circumstances come. I'm telling you, trouble comes. It'll knock on every door. The Bible never says that no trouble will come to you. But there's a difference between trouble coming and trouble befalling you. There's a difference between it, that opportunity showing up and then it overtaking you. There's a difference between evil showing up and evil overcoming you. See, there's a difference between that. So evil will show up. But see, here's the deal. Because of the way I see things through the Word, as I have learned to think His thoughts and not just think my thoughts or just think natural thoughts or see things the way that the world sees things, I'm seeing things from a whole different perspective with a different set of eyes. I'm seeing it from a position of authority. I'm seeing the circumstances in a completely different way. See, I'm seeing everything in light of the cross. I'm seeing everything in light of my covenant with God, because that is the Word. I'm seeing everything in light of what He has said to me, what He's promised me, what He has done for me. And when I have that perspective, you understand how this helps you stay in peace? See, if I will keep my mind stayed on Him, and it doesn't matter what happens. And sometimes I'm the trouble. It's not always that trouble comes. Sometimes I'm the one that brought the trouble. Sometimes it's me. I'm the problem. But even then, there's peace for me. Even when I goofed up. And I've goofed up. And people I'm married to, they've goofed up. And you've goofed up. We all have. But even at those times, if my mind is stayed on Him, see, I start seeing things. Because see, when I goofed up, the enemy comes in. He comes in with guilt, condemnation, shame. You bad boy. You brought this on yourself. Wallow in it. Lie in your mess. But see, you have a different perspective because you have your mind stayed on Him. And you know that it's not what you've done or what you haven't done. It's all the blood of Jesus. Amen. See? So you understand how that just changes things? How that keeping your mind stayed on Him? Okay, and then here's the second part. Because He trusts in you. So there's these two parts. It's my mind staying on Him and trusting in Him. And the Amplified Bible says it this way: because He commits Himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. That's what it means to trust in Him. It means to commit yourself to Him, to lean on Him, and to hope confidently in Him. See, I'm very aware of the fact that peace in my life has everything to do with my confidence in God. It does. Peace is not contingent on the circumstances. It's not contingent even on the report. It's not even contingent on that email I got that night 2 weeks ago. That report I got that night was not a good report. But I was able to move from the sheer, just gut-wrenching moment that I experienced with that, and I was able to move over into peace because of one thing. Because of God and my trust in Him. I don't know about you, but I just have a deep conviction that God's going to take care of me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I hope you have that. I hope that's growing in you. But I have so much more in my life. I have so much more peace just because I have so much more confidence in God. He's going to take care of me. He is taking care of me. He is watching over me. And I'm telling you, no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. 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 He's taking care of me. He's watching over me. Y'all know Bruce and Kay Fox, who Bruce is a member of our church. Kay's still a member. She just went on, started the new branch we have on the other side in heaven. A couple years ago, maybe it hasn't even been that long, we get a phone call one afternoon, and it's Kay, and Kay is excited, but not in a good way. because Bruce has just been riding his motorcycle and he hit some little thing on the pavement and he hit with his head the pavement and he skidded all the way down the road on his head. And it didn't look good. And they put him in an ambulance and they took him off. And she calls us and says, you know, pray, come to the hospital, do what you can. And you know, that's a terrible moment in your life. Do you know God has peace for those moments? He is peace. And so I did what I knew to do. I just started praying. You know, at some point you're just like, God help Bruce. I just begin to pray in the Spirit. When I don't know how to pray, the Spirit within me, He does know how to pray. I just begin to pray. And I hadn't been praying 2 minutes when God spoke to me and He said this to me. He said, I am going to take care of Bruce. And I tell you, in that moment, everything changed for me. Now, everything didn't change for Bruce, but everything changed for me, and peace settled in on me. And Matt and I talked, and we were able to minister to them and help them. And all through that, with every bad report, every negative thing that happened, and all along the way, God is taking care of Bruce. Well, you know, it sustained, as far as I was concerned, me being able to minister to Bruce and help him all the way through that. But I tell you what, it didn't end there. Last June, we were in the airport coming back from Minnesota, second week of June, and we get a phone call from Gary, and Gary's on the phone with Matt. And he says, I've just been in to see Kay, and she just handed me a note and told me she wants to go. Well, I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want Kay to go. Kay shouldn't be going. What are you thinking, Kay? Well, I'm not Kay, and I'm not living in her body, and I'm not dealing with what she's dealing with. As far as I was concerned, she needs to stay. But Kay decided to go. The Bible says it's far better to go. I don't understand that. I don't understand from my perspective how it's better to go, but it's better to go. And I didn't want Kay to go, and I was upset, and we're there in the airport. And there we sit, and I am bawling in the airport. And Matt's like, Susie, can you get it together? Because everybody's like looking like, you would think they just told me my 4-year-old was run over by a car the way I'm crying in the airport. And I'm trying to pull it together. And somewhere inside of me, see, I was not so concerned about Kay. The person I was most concerned about was Bruce. Because if you know Bruce and Kay, you're like, how can Bruce make it without Kay? And I remembered God saying to me, I'm going to take care of Bruce. And Gary, look what's happened to that man in these 6 months. Who would have ever thought that Bruce would be doing as well as he's doing and would have made it the way he has? It's been supernatural. God's taking care of Bruce. God's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of you. You have that confidence in Him. That's where it comes from. Peace comes from having confidence towards God. You can call it faith. I can give you a series on 7 steps to get faith. I can tell you how it works. I can tell you how to release it. I can tell you everything you need to know about faith. But the reality is, unless you just decide that you're going to lean on Him and that you're putting it all on the line and that He is really your very own Father and that He is out for your best and He's going to take care of you and He's going to make all things work together for your good. I mean, that's up to you to decide. And it's not my teaching or any of that. Somewhere in your heart, you have to be persuaded that God really is God and that He really is looking out for you. And when you settle down on that, I'm telling you, peace will rise up in you. And that's when you're sitting there going, man, the world is blowing apart around me. I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling all right. I think I'm going to crawl up here in the back of the boat and take a nap. And it's not pretending. And it's not you're so doped up on whatever it is people dope up on. It's peace. And whatever's going on in your life tonight, I'm telling you, put your mind on Him. And just settle down and have confidence in Him. He's going to take care of you.